Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467369.
Baby, you're the greatest. Yay, yay.
Sing that shit, Troy.
Fire. That Ari Lennox shit, hard.
She's Dreamville, right?
Yeah, she Dreamville. That shit hard, buddy.
Yo, that cowboy, that Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard, huh?
Like, I fuck with the
it's
song.
It's hard.
Hey, dude, I fuck with bro. The song.
It's hard.
Nah, I fuck with the song, but it's just like, you know, I put it into its spot.
I remember a couple weeks ago, I brought it to the chat a couple weeks ago. Some of y'all were like, no, I don't want to hear that, man.
Don't get it twisted. I don't want to hear it. If it comes on, I'll listen to it. But for you to say, for me to want to hear something, that means I'm going
to
go.
Nah, to ask to be put it on, you too damn old to be asking for that to be put on.
No, damn. I'm not accidentally putting shit on. I'm talking about if I turn the radio on and they play that shit, I'm like, Trey, I work in a school just like you. So yeah. I hear these youngins, they come down, they singing shit. You know, I didn't know. For all I thought, I was like, damn, it's a country song.
You put it on the playlist or no?
Hell no.
So it actually didn't make they hating on him. That's why I'm rooting for him even more. I get it. You know what I'm saying? To the concept of how he trolled his way into like getting a contract. You know what I'm saying? Like that was a kid that used to be on social media, just like, you know what I mean, putting up funny stuff and then flipped this whole thing into like a music career. Same thing with Tekashi.
That's what's up, bro. Like, listen, this is one thing I will never hate on any of these youngins getting that money, figuring out a different way. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, everybody just trying to provide for their family and for themselves. You know what I'm saying? So I never will hate on anybody that makes it through. And I, you know, at the end of the day, definitely do your thing. It's just like Fifth. Like, I wasn't always the biggest Fifth fan. I'm not really a big 50 fan, but I don't fool with his tactics and shit like that. But I mean, now it's funny, but I didn't really fool with it. But at the end of the day, I never knocked his hustle. He found a lane. He did what he had to do. You know what I mean? These young boys do the same thing. I'm not mad at them for that. I'm just not listening to it because it's not for me. I'm at that point now where it's 100% not for me. Some things are just not for me. They for my daughter. They for my, you know what I mean? They for my you know what I mean? Whoever. They for my nieces, my nephews, all that stuff, man. It's not for me.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Now you throw on that whole come out with another album. I'm all over that though.
Rob, guys are terrible at taking care of their health, man. Whether it's a knee injury, a back injury, or something even worse, guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Can you even believe that? Something that important? Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for erectile dysfunction online. Roman is a one-stop shop where you can get where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED and, if safe and appropriate, ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/BOM, complete an online visit, chat with a doctor, and if the doctor decides that it would be safe and appropriate, they'll shift the genuine medication right to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Guys, go online and get checked by the doctor. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really simple. So take care of it, man. Seriously, your lady's going to appreciate this. Or your guy, you know. Who knows? For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/BOM. That's GetRoman.com/BOM for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/BOM.
Yo, what's good? We back with Bomb. Happy Wednesday morning. You know, we got Naima joining us. We got
hey, y'all.
Jerv joining us. Waz is on vacation. Amin is somewhere. Mari is at an undisclosed location. And Barberman, a.k.a. Kev, is hooking up a nice fade.
It better be nice.
Man, we hope so, man, if he missing Bomb. We got some great topics today to cover. With the new day switched allowed us to get a hold of this topic that has had social media going crazy. Aisha Curry was featured on The Red Pill. I think that's Jada Pinkett's show. That's on Facebook Watch.
Table Talk. It is not called
The Red Pill. Oh, I'm sorry. The Red Pill is a podcast, right?
We didn't talk about women's programming. No, it's called The Red Table Talk.
Red Table Talk. Okay. I'm sorry. I mixed up. Red Table Talk. I never tuned in, but I always see the clips being cut and posted on social media. In this particular clip, Aisha kind of pretty much became vulnerable and shared, you know, her life as being married to Steph and also her feelings.
Really bothers me and, like, honestly has given me a sense of a little bit of an insecurity is the fact that, yeah, like, there are all these women, like, throwing themselves. But me, like, the past 10 years, like, I don't have any of that. Like, I have zero, this sounds weird, but, like, male attention. And so then, like, I begin to internalize it. And I'm like, is something wrong with
me? You're not looking.
But I'm going to tell you something else, too. When your radar's turned off, because I dealt with that for years, too. Like, and I was young, like you.
Yeah,
like
that's
oh,
not
my God.
Fair.
I mean.
Because I don't want it. But yeah. It would be nice to know that, like, someone's looking.
But
that
when your radar's turned off. Yeah. Right. That you're can beautiful. Get real don't dangerous. Ever think for one minute that it ain't no some men out there looking at you like I wish.
Honestly.
And I'm going to tell you who knows that more than anybody.
Your husband. And
I'm Naima. Could you start off with what you took from that video or sure. The little clip that was given?
So there were a couple of things happened. The conversation, I think you just said this, was with the whole Curry family. It was, well, all the women in the Curry family. So it was her, it was Steph's sister, it was Steph's mom. And part of what they were talking about was just life, not only married to a basketball player, because Steph's dad was also a pro player, but married to a man of power, period, right? A man of who's famous and, you know, when there are women around kind of lurking. And the first thing I kind of wanted to point out was that she was asked the question of how she feels about groupies, women who are hanging around. And then as the conversation evolved, you know, I think, I want to say Jada was saying that sometimes she puts herself in Will's shoes and thinks about how many women throw themselves at Will all the time. And it gives her a little bit of compassion for Will. And Aisha was saying, well, actually what's weird is that, you know, over the past 10 years, I've developed some insecurities because Steph gets all this attention and I don't get any from men. And I'm not even saying I want it. It would just be nice to know, like, it happened. And I think there's a couple things there. First of all, she's young. Second of all, she's got three kids, you know, so I think it's natural to kind of feel like, and also like nobody's going to shoot their shot at her DMs, you know, like this is not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, do you really want to be the guy?
Yeah.
Do you really want to be the guy that shot, especially social media wise, because you're not going to get close to her first and foremost.
At all.
On social media, in her comments, saying something like the guy that tried to get at Beyonce, like, you got kicked.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, out of respect, no one is trying. You know what I mean? Like, no. And I like you said, pretty much, hold on, Jerv, one second. Before, she's young. And then I also think that she was trying to say it differently and it came out a different way, which kind of threw everybody, especially the clip being cut as it was, to cause that type of reaction. I'm trying to see it from that perspective. And you kind of, you know, our conversation, I talked to you a little bit earlier, Naima, about it. And I was curious because I officially was looking at it like, man, like, you really want men to lust after you? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. It's one thing to be desired and stuff like that.
I don't think it's that. I think it's just, and it's weird because I know it doesn't make sense when we say it, but it's not even like you want the attention per se. You don't actively want the attention. You don't actively want to entertain it. You just want to know sometimes you still got it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a little bit different. You want to know you can turn ahead. But the thing is that she, first of all, obviously she's famous. Second of all, her husband's well respected. But like, whereas Jada has always seemed like a firecracker and she's sexy and she's hot. And even though men respect her, they would be like, I would love to get with
Jada. So Naima, to piggyback off of that, I think most of the time the reason why she caught so much backlash is because she shits on sexy so much.
But you know what? She doesn't even do it so much. She's done it a couple times.
And that's one too many though, especially in a sex sales world though, you know?
I get it. I get why people are like,
She Claire Huxtable and like she moving like an auntie at 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, really clothed up and respectable.
Even Claire Huxtable was fine.
Fine. But I'm just saying she moving in a clean way and in a respectable way, and that's fine. Like, look, bro, this is what we really want, ideally long term, but we giving off this stuff that we seeing on Instagram short term.
There are probably a lot of men who are looking at her like, she would be a great wife. I would love a wife like her. But they not like, yo, I would kill that. And you know what I mean? Like,
it's just joined us. I'm never having the mindset of like, yo, I would thrash her. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not the type of person to look at someone's that, I don't care, celebrity or, you know, normal patron walking around, wife. That's completely off limits. You know what I'm saying? But it's some people that be trying it. But again, even if she did try to throw a spice of sexy in her life and put it, like, say she went through a whole makeover, right, Naima? And all of a sudden she turn up. Do we really?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still not seeing nobody really trying it.
Nobody wants that.
And it's not saying she's not attractive. It's just like, out of respect of your husband and then the wholesomeness of the things that you guys portray out, nobody's trying it.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, the women were also telling her, like, you're probably wrong. There's probably plenty of dudes checking for you at all times. But again, who's going to step to her? Like, who's going to openly lust after her? First of all, she's never anywhere without her family. You know what I mean? There's just no opportunity. I get it. I get where she's coming from. I do think the people who are like, because I see both sides of the debates about her today when people are like, oh, look at this pot calling kettle. You know, she's been talking, you know, smack about sexy women. And now all of a sudden she wishes that she was desirable and ain't just a hotel place that wants you. And, you know, all that. And she's a pick me, even though she's married. I think that's unfair. I think for a 3-year-old,
this day. Huh? I said, pick me is still funny to this day.
I mean, but it's real though. But I also think that like any woman who is like, she's 30, she's been with Steph since she was 15. Like, you literally don't know what it's like to have another man get at you. Like, you literally do not know.
Rob, can we hit the Bossa Nova?
Yes.
Okay. So Naima. Oh,
Okay, so this is, I don't know if you guys talked about this part. This was funny to me. That part was, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to sit here and dissect how people feel or whatever. The funny thing to me was, so then they transitioned to talking about stress. And Sydell Curry, so this is Steph's youngest sister, talked about four or five concussions from playing volleyball. She played volleyball collegiately, and I think she played professionally now. Not sure, though. But anyways, getting hit by the ball, four or five concussions, and she worries if her stress is tied to – and also she has anxiety of being in crowds. Yeah. That's tied to that. And I'm like, whoa. First of all, I didn't know you get concussions in volleyball, but it makes sense. Get hit with a ball in the head.
Yeah, you can get a concussion with anything.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying,
I've got concussions fucking five, standing up.
Like, five sounds, because even Jada
that's
was
a lot.
Like, Jada was like, she had the Soulja Boy voice. She was like, five concussions?
Yeah. Like, so I'm listening. I'm like, whoa. And here go this one. I have stress too. Oh my God. Just, you don't have to be that the person who has whatever we talk about. I got that too. It was such a Mr. Me Too moment. I was just like, yo, what are you going to tell us? What are you stressed about? Like, and I get it. Everyone has stress. I don't want to be mean. But, like, this person is telling you, and in this, like, day and age where we've discovered, like, there's a link between these mental health and being hit on your head enough times. Like, maybe this is the one you ease back and let her like have the spotlight for. Maybe you just skip this one, the I got stressed too, or at least just wait until the conversation has died and say, yeah, I know it's crazy, you know, stress, I think everyone, people think, you know, because we're affluent, whatever, we don't have stress. She jumped and she could not wait. Like, hold on. Oh, that's cool. You got hit in the head. I also have stress and anxiety. I'm like, oh. And that's, I think it's that attitude and that general self-presentation is what rubs people the wrong way. It's more than anything else.
It's a little pious. It's a little, you know, better than. She definitely does project that sometimes. But that whole show, she seemed like she was on the verge of tears. Did you guys peep that? So I think at some point she was just kind of in her own feelings deeply.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, you know, exposing herself to the world like that, you know, again. And then it's not easy just, you know what I mean, giving off regardless of what people think. Exposing being insecure, that was kind of like a public therapy situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think she planned on being trending topic of worldwide the
you
next
don't,
day.
You don't think so?
You don't think
so? Here's my cynicism. I think she was thinking about being trending topic the next day. I don't think she thought it would happen like this. She thought people were going to be
on
like,
a positive way.
Yeah. Oh my God. The poor kid. Oh, beautiful.
Nah. Cause nobody don't bang with her like that. Nah.
But people like that are looking for that. They're searching for, it's like, you know what it's like in a weird way? It's like the Houston Rockets when they put out the memo. Or they leaked that they had a memo about, like, oh, we got no calls, 18 missed calls in game 7. They thought the whole world would be like, oh, my God. Oh, these guys are getting robbed every time they play the Warriors. And what they failed to understand is, like, no, it just makes you look really needy.
Yeah, you look nuts.
So, wait, y'all trying to tell me, y'all think, and I'm not trying to be funny, that if you open her DMs right now, that no one's in her DMs. It may not be...
Not with her sending nudes.
Nah,
speak.
Bruh. Listen,
not nobody who
on the gram.
Listen, first and foremost, you're not even breaking through that.
And if they are, it's probably on some peace, beautiful queen, mother of the earth.
Niggas is not sending no eggplant.
But that's I'm not hypocritical. Hypocritical might not be the word, but like if cats are too thirsty, like damn, you look good as shit. I'm trying to wear it, whatever. Like, then it's like, damn, cats get on my nerves. They do this and the third. And then it's like, oh, you know, beautiful. What's up, my beautiful black queen? You know, you're this and the third. And it's like, you can't have it.
Hey, can I highlight the ignorance of black Twitter, though, of them, their perspective of this? And it's so crazy because, like, you can have a mature conversation about this, but the jokes are going to fly. And then also, like, just in, because I was on fire this morning. Like, I was trying to view it, like, you know, before talking to Naeem, I didn't have that viewpoint. I was just looking like, damn, man, like, Shorty really did that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still was trying to see it from a perspective. And they even pulled up her old tweet. She said, at the auto bell, getting a much needed car wash. Don't really need the men trying to holler, though. I'm engaged. Jeez. Exactly. Off the market.
I mean, how long ago?
Twitter's amazing.
God damn.
You know Twitter gonna dig.
Anything. Look, I said
85.
Okay, and this might be a transition inflection point. But first of all, when I criticized Tiger Woods and I said, I don't rock with him. And this was before, right after he won the Masters, when everyone was kind of back on the bandwagon. I don't rock with him. Why not? Because he don't rock with us. Oh, because he don't. No. This guy clearly, like he says, he doesn't identify as black. Like the people he associates with and the thing. I'm like, I don't rock with him. And Jer was like, no, this, that, the other, you know. And everyone tried to guilt me. And then they dug up this video where it's like 13-year-old Tiger Woods talking about how important it is, you know, if for him to be good at golf so that people could see that the blacks are just as good as anyone else, right? So I said, anyone who uses the term blacks with an S, like, yes, that's proof positive that, yo, you can't trust them, right?
Man, listen, plural. Listen,
so then someone dug up a tweet that I had like a zillion years ago where someone said, well, I basically define Sudan literally where I'm from is translated as land of the blacks. Like, that's the translation. I'm not saying I'm yawking on and the blacks over here and my blacks over there. And I want the blacks.
Speaking of our favorite black.
But speaking of which, though, so transition to Tiger. Okay. Now what you got to say, Jerv? You still pumping your chest? Yeah, we did it for the Masters.
Hey, brother, listen, man. His political affiliation has nothing to do with me. The man is amazing at golf. When he's on fucking television playing golf, everyone watches. I don't particularly care to watch golf, but when he's on, I watch. I play, most likely because of Tiger Woods. Hell, I fucking had his sneakers back when he first got. I had the golf, this golf spike.
Hold on. We all have roots of ignorance, right? Where we thought something was cool because we just didn't know any better, right? Yep. Now you know better.
It's on you now.
Dude, are you still rocking with them heavy? Hell yeah.
Wow.
I mean, let me
say,
I'm rocking with him
right. Because he's, no matter what his affiliation is, no matter what he said outside of saying, yo, fuck black people, He breaks barriers every single time, whether he wants to or not. So his affiliation with Donald Trump does not take away the fact that when he
Ben Carson's your man, then.
I mean, you know, Ben, I'm not inviting Ben to the cookout.
I'm just, why not? Ben Carson broke barriers and did a whole bunch of incredible things.
Because Ben might have, first of all, he might have raisins in his potato salad. And I'm not fucking with that.
Oh, but Tiger does. Hold on. What do you think Tiger has on his
Tiger doesn't even fuck with potato salad, so it's a whole nother ball game. I'm not tripping off that.
Yeah, for sure eating casserole.
Exactly.
All right, whatever.
Did Tiger eat McDonald's at the White House?
I'm just saying, did y'all just peep how Jerv's entire argument fell apart like that? He's like, I said, Ben Carson, he just,
But my bounce back game was strong, though, so it was all good.
No, it wasn't. You didn't bounce back at all. You collapsed into a heap of, like, popsicle sticks just on the ground. Like, damn.
I can't believe that was the Eiffel Tower once upon a time. That was
just oh my God.
Naeem, what's your stance on Tiger Woods?
Incredible athlete. That's all I gotta say about it.
There you go.
That's all you got to do. Naima, I'm not saying that you got to be out here rocking a red polo on Sundays.
I don't watch him anymore. I appreciate his Masters win for sure. You know, I'm gonna acknowledge what he is, but I ain't celebrate that shit. I think Tiger is, I'm thankful to have seen him play in my lifetime, right? I'm thankful to have been here for it, and I can acknowledge that and recognize that for the moment that it is. But I definitely ain't holding up a black fist when Tiger does some shit.
Thank you.
Tiger did that for us.
Hear that, Derv? Yeah.
He for sure ain't did that for us.
Well, I don't want anyone to hold up a black
fist. Hold on. Said it. Derv, I remember Polynesian when he said it. I'm good.
Derv, you hear how you can appreciate, he's a great golfer, and that's a great story for him and his recovery back to the top of golf, without being like, yeah, that's my man right there. He's repping for us. He's the only one out here repping for us.
When
they look at Tiger Woods, please be clear. They have
They don't anymore, but when he first won the Masters and they asked him, what was it? Fuzzy, whatever his name
Fuzzy
was.
Fuzzy Badgley.
You're gonna have fried chicken and watermelon. like he had to go through shit. I mean, now over time.
And then he said his ass was Cobblenasian so he could get out of it.
Bang bang,
man! That's what happened.
That was a different Tiger.
He was going through some things, man. Things was difficult.
But now this one, he ain't going through things.
This is redemption. This is the redeemed team.
Yeah, redemption. Go get your medal from go get your medal from your mask at the White House.
Wow,
that's redemption.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Let's talk about
wow. Nigga hit him with the wow.
Laying in the Jerv, and we're going to talk about something that we can all agree on, how Game of Thrones is absolutely trash now.
Hey, it hurts my heart, bro, to see a Star Wars cup in that motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Y'all are so annoying.
Derv.
This is so annoying.
Derv, I'm riding a dragon. I'm flying hundreds of feet in the sky. I can see everything. Where are they hiding? Are they behind around the corner?
Yo, there's Kirk. Fucking Fresh Prince was an awesome show. John Carlton in one thing and Carlton in another outfit in fucking the same
exact comedy. It was a comedy.
You mean Jon Snow couldn't hug the wolf, but he can fly dragons.
Yeah.
The CGI wasn't that was the problem.
Don't you dare walk to that wolf.
Nigga been flying on an imaginary Bugatti.
So hold up. F that. Y'all not gonna just trash this show like that.
I hear them though. I don't think it's trashing the show, but they're wrapping this whole thing up too quickly and it is not doing the story any favors.
I will agree that they are definitely, you can tell that they probably need extra two episodes or maybe even a full season. I will 100% agree on that. But so if we go off of what we went into this episode expecting after the battle, everyone pretty much expected for this to be a setup episode. Just yes or no, right?
Yes.
Okay. So did anyone expect a fucking dragon to die when the glory music was playing? It's like,
listen, you got to understand though, Jerv, that was the deaths we missed and that got us hyped up about Game of Thrones. We ain't seen one of them type of oh shit deaths in a cool minute. Everything else was like, all right, that nigga died. Cool. But when that shit happened, that was some season 5. Season 4 type shit when the dragon got
Why are we complaining and when we got some old school shit?
Because it's inconsistent.
Jerv, it's not. First of all, there's a couple of things.
Don't trip off this Starbucks cup. I'm not going there.
I mean, how can I not? You spent $10 million. You didn't have one guy go through it.
I mean, clearly the PA did not do his job that particular day. All right, so I'm not going to throw him under the
PA. That's not the PA's fault. That's not the PA's fault. You spend $10 million on an episode. It's not a PA who sits back and watches it and editing. It's an editor. It's someone of a high level. And by the way, when he's done editing, they're supposed to hand it back to the showrunner who watches it to make sure. So look, you want to know about attention to detail. The dudes, D.B. Weiss and whatever the other guy's name is, they don't even pronounce the names right. Like, if you watch the making of episode, the making of after the episode, they're mispronouncing names of characters. Like, characters have been there since, like, season one. So these are people who clearly don't give a damn at all. Like, they're not paying attention like that, right?
I also think part of the problem is they're so far ahead of George in the books. This shit hasn't even been written yet.
Sure. And
apparently, there was a conversation about certain plot points, but he's largely uninvolved with the story.
Yes. Yes. So the explanation, Naima, really quick, was that George still has leaving the door open that he's going to write the end that he wants. And what he doesn't want is for his book to come across as an adaptation of whatever happens in the TV series. So while he's there for very general plot points, he's basically saying, hey, that's on y'all. Y'all do it the way you want to do it because I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Meaning, if they write something dumb, he's not going to really jump up and say, that would never happen, because he's like, all right, I'm going to save the real or the smart way of doing this for my book.
Right, so basically, he gets to figure out what everyone likes, and then what we don't react to, he'll just change the book.
But they've already gone off. They started going off book season three. Like,
No. It was season four, I want to say.
Well, no, yeah. I mean...
The Night King.
I mean, in terms of going, splitting away from the, like, there's people who are dead in the book who are alive in the show, and there are people who are alive and who are,
gotcha.
Are alive in the book, right? Like, Sansa never, all that shit with Sansa and Remy did not happen in the book, right? So there's already a whole different path.
Remix.
Take. But my assumption would be that the ultimate end, like the person who's left standing at the end, would have to be the same either way, right? I guess it would just have to be a different route to getting there. But they either need like five more episodes or like a whole other season, because I just don't see how you wrap this up properly based on where we are right now in two episodes. Even if they're 80-minute episodes, I don't see how you do it.
What if they come out with a movie after the two episodes?
Whatever. Okay.
I don't think it's going to be completely...
Hold on. Jerv, do you really think there's going to be a cliffhanger? And everyone's like, wait, I thought there was another. Guess what, guys? Got a movie coming out. And then everyone goes, oh! You think that's what's going to happen?
And that shit's still going to be different.
In the eight seasons of this show that we've watched, right, how many times have all the conspiracy theories, all the, oh, I think this is what's going to happen, or yeah, this is definitely, how many times does that shit happen? It never happens. People always are shocked or thrown off about whatever happens outside of the things that they were exactly the same in the book, right? So why? I mean, I know there's not going to be a movie. It would be dope if it was, but if it ended on a cliffhanger, to sound corny, that would be so Game of Thrones, to end on a cliffhanger.
Okay, Jerv, you are literally creating an alternate reality just to make up for the fact that this show is terrible, right? So I'm going to go back to my point, right? So beyond, like, how do you miss a Starbucks cup and all that, like, let's think about the way the dragon died. First of all, she's flying, and it's open sea. You really can't hide a fleet. You can't hide a fleet.
But that's not just any fleet, bro. That's the greatest fleet of all time.
Yes, and they're invisible now? But go ahead. Well, okay, so the one, let's just assume, yeah, it was hiding behind a rock, all however many of those ships. And they shot the first dragon down. And like you said, pretty shocking. Okay, cool. She's on a dragon. It's not a highway. She doesn't have to go straight at him. She can make a big ass circle, come around, come from behind them.
I expect her to come from behind. I didn't expect her to.
Hey, you know what's crazy?
What? He's not a warrior.
That's common sense, doggy.
I'm sorry, Jerv. I apologize. I know one time I told you I went to the Naval Academy and then Air Force Academy, but I didn't. I'm just a dude. I'm not a warrior. I just know better. Just like I know better about sending scouts forward to see what's happening before you just march your happy ass on.
Well, weren't they? Unless I must have missed that part. Were they were not, they were going there or they were going, I thought they were going, like everyone was going back to their place and they were going to regroup and all that.
No,
they were heading to King's Landing.
They was going to pull up. They was
they were heading to King's Landing.
They got this shit chipped.
Yeah.
Okay. So she clearly was showing 100% bad. This is all about like showing her flaws and everything at this point. Nah, real talk. So they're showing her flaws, right? She doesn't know how to plan a battle. She doesn't have all, up until this point, she's had every single person be there to plan her battles, right? Tell me one attack, one battle that was all her. This was the first one, and then she lost a dragon.
Jerv, she done rode on a dragon and burnt people before. It ain't that
and
hard.
She lost a dragon the last time she went rolling
no,
fire.
No. She didn't. Jerv,
she lose one more dragon, she gonna become Yes Jules.
Oh, well, listen, bro. She lose one more dragon, she about to go.
But wait.
She got no purpose.
I think there's another dragon, y'all. I think it's coming this Sunday.
And by the way, man, how about...
weird. Why would it be another dragon?
Like, weird.
The morning... Well, first of all, you just said all of these unbelievable scenarios to explain it. And then Naima says, maybe there's another dragon. You're like, oh, what? Another dragon?
Nah, because I mean, I'm not with the, out of nowhere, watched this show for 8 seasons.
It's not okay, there's two things. First, when Theon was taking over Winterfell, Bran warged into one of the wolves for a minute and saw a dragon. And then woke up, saw a dragon like in the smoke of Winterfell, and then woke up or whatever. So the assumption was that it was a dream or he was seeing things or he was misunderstanding what he was seeing because he was seeing it through the eyes of the wolf. But that's what he saw. There's long been rumors that there was a dragon did lay eggs under Winterfell at some point. Winterfell is built over hot springs, the only other two places in the world of Game of Thrones that we know of with the same hot springs are Valyria, where dragons come from, and Dragonstone, which is where the Targaryens went after they left Valyria. There could very well be another dragon who was born of Valyria. There could have been a dragon, maybe, I don't know, that was somehow under Winterfell or some shit. But somebody posted this week that if you look at the opening credits, there are four dragons on those iron rings that lock at the beginning. There's four dragons there. There's the three little ones and the one big one. That was not there before this season.
Yeah, the foreshadowing is
on. I gotta check that out then.
Go back and do your homework, Jervay.
Jerv, that's how you do it.
Oh, no, but listen.
Maybe they'll have a movie after this.
Place for a couple of seasons that there's another dragon somewhere.
Look, man, they better stop. Look, the funniest shit I see through Them Thrones Twitter, niggas called Lord Varys the Shade Room. And then, what's the name? Broke it, got his heart broke. My man.
Yo, that had me weak, bro. That had me weak.
Grindy.
Listen, he had not Grindy, the other one with the beard. What's my man's name?
Oh,
it's the big woman story.
Thorman, yeah.
Yeah, Thorman. So Thorman, bro, he got over the heartbreak in 35 seconds.
The groupie chose up ASAP.
And he was like, what? All right, fuck it, I'm over it. That was lit. And then also Jamie closing, you know what I'm saying? It's not you, it's me. I'm a bad guy. You know what I'm saying? He let us know how crazy Cersei Box is. And then also he slid, bro. He slid on Brienne, bro. Like that, it ain't funny, but it is funny.
Did anybody peep Brienne's, that's her squire or whatever, not squire, what's the
whole thing? Oh yeah, Podrick.
Anybody peep him skate off with the two in the background?
Podrick with the business.
My man said, listen, you don't want him, I got it, don't worry about it, bro. I'm gonna hold this down for you.
Hey, Arya is baller for curving that engagement. I mean,
if you know anything about Arya, since this show began, Arya has never been
she wanna be Young Ma so bad.
Yeah, like she's never been that chick. So like I don't even know what he was thinking about.
Hey, man.
Let's give him some credit. He did just get some, like 24 hours before.
He touched.
First of all, there's a meme going around. It's like, there's two type of dudes out there. And then, like, it's a picture of Jamie. And there's two types of dudes after they get some, right? There's a picture of Jamie and there's a picture of Gendry, right? Like, one of them is, like, hit it and quit it. The other one is, like, I love you, marry me. Right? Naeem, to answer your question, like, I guess the thinking is, no matter how rough around the edges she is, she's still a rich girl kind of who's kind of walked on the other side. This dude has lived in... And I'm just saying, I get it. She lived a tough life. He hasn't been there for her entirety of her tough life.
True.
He just knows, like, little bits and pieces, but for the most part, he knows, oh, but she's rich or whatever. I'm literally trash. I'm a peasant, right? Like, I have no... Even if she doesn't want this... Well, not anymore, but I'm just saying.
Because now he's like, I'm legit. You could actually be with me because I'm legit.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look, I mean, give my man some credit. He hit the lottery and went and proposed. A lot of niggas ain't doing that.
No, absolutely. But the other idea is the idea that regardless of whether she's all about that life or not, at least she knows it. He doesn't even know it. It's a new, like, telling me to do this is like, that's a nice honor. I have no idea how to do it. It would be like if someone made you the head of NASA right now. Like, that's cool, great, that's very prestigious. All right, so what do we do out here?
So what do we do?
You don't know. But they messed up. He said his name was Gendry Rivers. It should have been Gendry
Waters. How they drop the ball on that?
That because they don't care.
Yeah, right? They're just being lazy, man.
Because they left a Starbucks cup on the table. That's how.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on the green eye theory? Danny has green eyes and Cersei has green eyes. What does Arya? Does Arya pop her?
I think Jaime kills Cersei.
Yeah, that's what everyone thinks.
So Arya gets Danny?
Yo, wait, was Jaime on Arya's list too or no?
No,
he wasn't. Okay,
I don't think Arya. I don't think Arya knew.
She didn't know.
Okay. Yeah, nah. Hey, it'd just be so funny when Jaime and Bran be seeing each other, they be having a sick grill off. My man never say nothing.
Bran's a cold weirdo, dude.
Bran watching the show like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Bran's like, oh, shit.
He watching the playoffs.
So basically, it's Bran's fault they didn't catch that Starbucks cup.
He be watching the playoffs when his eyes roll back. And he could be catching the last quarter of the game.
He was watching Endgame. That's what he was watching.
Watching Endgame is sick, man. Oh, my God. Man, it's been some crazy takes about that movie too, man.
Can we talk about Endgame now?
Yeah, nigga, been past the spoilers.
Has everyone seen it here?
If you haven't at this point,
everyone's seen Endgame, right?
Naeem, you seen Endgame?
We lose her. That's a good way to avoid spoilers. She just dipped. Like,
I've seen it.
Okay, straight.
All right, cool.
Thanos is real.
Is Endgame a dad movie? I was explaining to Jerv with all those teaching points they had in it.
Oh, huh.
He's got some good points.
Definitely, I don't know about it.
You know, like, Tony's a new father. His father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. There's definitely that part where he's talking about, like, yeah, the world is shit, but I have a kid now. So, like, do I want to go back in time? I'm like, my thing was... I kind of understood it. I was like, yeah, man, I don't know if I, like, I often think about, oh, I can go back in time, I do this different, that different. I'm like, would I not have my kids, though? I don't know. Like, I don't know if I do that.
There's a lot of pro dad, but then I also thought it was a lot of humor and only, what, two battle scenes?
Oh, yeah, no, it was very light on battle scenes. I think that's what upset a lot of people. I think it's a good movie. I don't think it's the best movie ever. But in terms of wrapping up that story that was 11 years in the making,
it was fantastic.
It did the job. It got the job done.
I ain't saying it's trash. No way. But it just definitely was just kind of like, Fat Thor was humorous.
Yes.
I loved Thor Bowser.
That was Harris.
Thor Bowser was great. But I think we needed those tender moments because this is the end of this group, right? So it couldn't just be all fight, 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 battle, battle, battle. Like, we had to have those moments, because we were also saying goodbye to the Avengers in this iteration. We're never going to see them together again like that.
But then we got a black Avenger and a black gatekeeper.
I know what he was excited about.
I mean, black Captain nobody America. I'm sorry. Yeah, nobody. No, why nobody fuck with Anthony Mackie?
Why is black Captain America only going to get a Netflix series and not a movie?
Why wasn't it?
Because
nobody pulling up for that, bro. I'm sorry.
I mean, let's look. Yeah, first of
we can't pull up for that like we pulled up for Black Panther.
No,
Anthony Mackie doesn't have that.
Niggas is not doing a 2 hours of Anthony Mackie movie. I'm sorry, bro.
So that shit. See?
Also, by the way, Captain America. I don't know. It's not like Iron Man where all you got to do is wear the suit and you're good. Like that shield isn't enough. Like Captain America was a super soldier. Anthony Mackie's just a dude.
So what, they gonna juice up Anthony Mackie?
He got to.
There's no more serum left.
There's no more. Well, there you go. The super soldier serum is done.
He's basically gonna be Batman except with a shield instead of
getting this shit cracked. Yo, he was so damn happy when he got that fucking shield. Like, bro, look. I get it, bro. And I felt like they catered to everybody in that movie. They had the women run out the one time.
That's the part I didn't. I didn't like it. I didn't like it because it was so heavy-handed. Yeah. I was like, uh-oh, I've got all my sisters with me. Like that's all I was missing.
I just wanted it more. I wanted it a more genuine fight scene. I wanted a more genuine fight scene, not just like when I watched it, like the crowd was going nuts when they seen all the women. I'm like, that's cool, but it looks forced. You know what I'm saying? That shit was so forced. I was like,
but it was very forced. And then I was like, how did Pepper get here? Like that confused me all along.
Oh, wearing the suit? When she's wearing the suit?
Look, Pep skills just done went all the way up. She was turned. She might be the new Iron Man on the Spider-Man shits.
Wow. You know what? I'd rather have her than Mal. Anthony Mackie being
Anthony Mackie.
So wait, so Spider-Man is next.
Did y'all see the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Why didn't they give us? So that was my gripe, right? And it sounds like something real childish to pick at, but fuck it, I don't care. Why didn't we get the Spider-Man trailer that's out right now? Why didn't we get the tease or something?
Because this segment, the MCU is a wrap. This is a new era. They didn't connect it to whatever comes after it.
But they're still using the same people to play those characters. So
they needed to give closure to the era. Like the reason we got those teasers before is because all the movies connected together. Now we're on some new shit. Like they're just trying to give finality to it.
So we're done. We're done with teasers.
No, we're done with the storyline. But it'll be for the new, whatever the new arc is. There's a new arc that's going to start for the MCU. This one's done. They're starting another one.
Jerv, think about it like this. When you're watching, let's say, Game of Thrones, right? Episode, season 7, right? At the end of every episode is like next week on Game of Thrones. And you see the little snip, oh, it's going to be hot. Da, da, da. The season finale. They're not telling you next season on Game of Thrones. They're just like, season's over. We're moving on, right? And so this quote-unquote season of MCU is over. So there is no teaser for the next season because it's a different storyline.
I mean, I get it.
We're getting 8 new movies. We're getting Doctor Strange 2, Black Panther 2.
I'm cool.
Captain Marvel 2,
by the way.
Guardians 3, happens.
Guardians 3 is happening. They brought that one out, right? Yeah.
What's called going to be in that?
Black Widow.
You said they're bumping the Guardian?
No. They're making it. They brought James Gunn back.
Zoe in it, though?
I don't know. Probably not. She's dead, bro.
No, they have alternate Gamora.
I'm not feeling
that. Alternate Gamora. Right.
I'm not feeling that, bro.
Question. No, she's back. You're not feeling that she's back or you're not feeling that she's not back?
I'm not feeling, if she's not in it, I'm not feeling.
No, she just, Naomi just reminded me. They got Gamora from the alternate reality. So
okay, so we're good. I'm in.
Let me ask you, you said, Jerv, you said you don't like Doctor Strange?
I'm not the biggest fan of Doctor Strange.
How many times did you watch it? Because I'm going to tell you what happened to me.
I watched it 1.5 times.
I watched it once, and I was like, ah. And then I can't, like, it was like...
You was like, what?
like it's like
by the way, like, kind of like I felt after Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel is like,
yeah, no, Captain Marvel was like really, like I really wanted to like really OD fuck with Captain Marvel.
It wasn't bad. It just was. It was okay.
And also, like, she didn't fit it. Like, people were mad at me because I said that, like the incorporation of Danvers into Endgame was like the biggest disappointment of the movie, because I understand they needed to put her there, but they couldn't really use her because she's so strong that she could have just done the shit by herself. So it's like, we're just gonna put her over here. Like, it just didn't. It felt like they were just putting her there so they wouldn't get fined. Like, that's exactly what yeah. Like, and I was like, we didn't really, with that big old setup with Fury paging her at the end of Infinity War, it just didn't pay off. I mean, I know she finished it, but it wasn't like, woo, shit. Like, it just didn't.
I'm glad you followed up with this shit, because we would have got cooked. She had the I fuck with black man haircut, too. That shit is crazy.
I can't understand why. Like, what?
Well, man, sometimes when you're out in space, man, you get exposed to different things. but going back to Doctor Strange, I'll tell you, so I watched it again by accident, like maybe like 4 or 5 months ago. It was on TNT. And I'm sitting there and I'm like laughing my ass. Like, this movie is funny, man. I can't believe I missed that. Like, I don't know, for whatever reason, when I watched it the first time, I just wasn't into it. I was like, okay, whatever. And now watching again, like, this is actually really well written and pretty funny. Like, the quips don't stop the whole time. Now if you tell me there's Doctor Strange 2 coming out, I'm like, oh, I'm there.
Hey, you know how many times I had to watch that movie?
Doctor Strange?
Like low-key, I had to start that shit over like 3-4 times. Because I always would fall asleep to it. I don't know why. It wasn't that it was boring. It just was like,
there's a lot of detail in it.
Sorry. Yeah.
And it trips you out. It's very trippy.
It was a real good movie, though.
I mean, I get the importance of Doctor Strange. Like, I definitely get the importance. But I will say that when I did watch it, I think I probably was. I think that might have been like my airplane movie or something a couple times.
Yeah.
So I don't think I ever watched it completely through one time. Like, yeah, focus, I watched it in bits and pieces. Like, all right, this is where I left off. Let me get back. So I definitely sold it short.
It's pretty good.
But, I mean, if you tell me there's a second one and you're saying that, yo, if you go back and watch it, I'll give it a shot. But I'm not fooling with another Ant-Man and all that type stuff. Like, you can miss me with those.
Ant-Man 2.
And I think he's hilarious,
Ant-Man 2 was 1,000 times better than the first Ant-Man. The first Ant-Man, I was like you. I was like, this is corny. And it's like, oh, I'm just an ex-con trying to do right. And the funny people were all... T.I. and my man, I can't remember, Anthony Pena or whatever, like all those guys were the comedy, but they tried to make Paul Rudd a serious dude. And then I watched Ant-Man 2 and they let Paul Rudd just be Paul Rudd and be funny and silly. And I was like, this is so much better, man. Ant-Man 2 was really good.
Man, wake me up when Black Panther 2 comes out. I'll check Captain Marvel 2 just for the sake of it, I guess. I'll check out this new Spider-Man series just because it looks pretty dope.
And you'll check out Tiger Woods in the next Masters or Major.
Oh, yeah. Catch me watching all the PGA Tour stuff this year, man. I got to see my man break his record.
Two things. Okay, so we got two things left on the rundown. One that's on the rundown, one that's not on the rundown. And I'm gonna leave it to y'all to say which one we want to do. Okay, so we have Met Gala, which now I'm beginning to get confused how many a year they are. Or there's one.
Monday in May every year.
So they just out here moving. Time is flying. I mean, it just seems like we talk about it so much.
It feels like every other month I've seen people dressed crazy. Like, what's going on? It's the Met Gala. I'm like, again? And then the other thing we have is Ramadan. It's Ramadan. So I did a Ramadan teaser on Instagram, and I got a couple of people asking for me to talk about it on the pod. So This is an opportunity for you guys, my infidel friends, to ask me any question you might have about Ramadan.
So we got any votes? What do you want to talk about? I know Jerv was curious about Met Gala.
I'll say Met Gala because Ramadan is a month long, so we can do it next time. And we only have Naima here today, so there's more sense of urgency there. But how about this? We'll talk about Ramadan next week. You guys can leave voicemails and ask any questions you want. I know I got a zillion questions on my Instagram video. I'll answer them on Instagram, but I know many of the listeners aren't on Instagram or don't follow me on Instagram, whatever. So if you have questions about Ramadan, you want to make it on a pod, leave a voicemail, and we'll answer them next week. 860-386-8147. But for now, Naima, what is the Met Gala?
So the Met Gala is, I'm glad you asked. The Met Gala is the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute Gala. And the Costume Institute is an organization within the Met that specifically focuses on, you guessed it, costumes, period pieces, things of the era. This is an annual fundraiser for that. And the theme every year is based on the exhibit for the year. It's been happening for years and years and years and years and years and years. I can't remember exactly how many. Anna Wintour has been a co-chair for about the past, I want to say since the early 2000s. And it's been since then that it's become, instead of just like a social and art circle thing, it's become like a celebrity and pop culture thing because it wasn't
all. Okay. Question.
Yes.
It is, so you say it's a fundraiser. Does that mean all these people are showing up, they've all donated or paid a cover or something like that?
There are organizations and designers who buy tables and they invite celebrity guests. There are some who are invited directly by Anna or Vogue or by the museum. But there are tables. So like usually when you see somebody, they're sitting at the table or whatever designer dressed them. So the designers have tables, sometimes foundations have tables, because there's a whole bunch of people who go to the Met Gala that we don't see, that we don't know who they are. You know, there may have been photos of them on the red carpet, but they don't run and shit. We read like that. It's not
philanthropists,
people in the art scene, you know, old money socialites, like that kind of, it's a very old New York crowd. It's a very old Fifth Avenue New York crowd, I should say. But then we mostly now pay attention to it because now there are athletes and rappers and pop stars and actresses. Rihanna and Beyonce did not come this year.
By the way, terrible question. It's a terrible question. Tell you what, you think they would have showed up and we would have seen pictures of Odell Beckham and not of them?
You really
think that's the way the internet works, right?
Yeah, my bad. That was a stupid question. I apologize.
All right, so here's my next question. I know it's all cool, all our cool celebrities and Gabby and Dwayne Wade and everyone's there, but I trust you to know these things more than the average person on the street, right? Are we welcomed there?
No. Oh, you mean what?
No. Yes. like
and Nova's priceless.
No.
Not me and you, I mean.
In a limited capacity, right? Like, it's only been in the past 2 years that Black folks really started going. Because first of all, in New York, like again, like I said, this is an old Fifth Avenue museum crowd. That's not really our scene in New York, period, right? It's an older money crowd. We're starting to be invited in more and more. But right now, you have to kind of be like a celebrity and on a scene. Or there's a few Black people who run in that kind of like socialite crowd that are there.
But you have
to have access. It's not likely for us to have access to it.
Let me amend the question. I didn't mean it in terms of like the standard Black person on the street are we welcome or whatever. I'm saying, like, is it one of those things where they are just, hey, oh, this person? All right, cool, come on with it, you know? Or is it, who let the help in? Like, oh, is it celebrity?
I'm sure some noses up.
Oh,
but
it's the help.
I'm sure that happens with some of them. Like, I'm guessing that Tiffany Haddish got some of that yesterday.
She was there. Hey, she be with the pull-ups. She be at everything.
Yeah.
And I like it, but I be like, look, man. Like, that's the thing. You know what I mean? Like,
LA.
I'm from ashy-ass Compton, right? And whenever I get to go somewhere, I mean, you know, once you get a little etiquette, you start to act, you start to try to fit in, and you be looking.
Trey, hold on, Trey. You're telling me you haven't showed up to places dressed not quite as appropriately as that might require?
Nah, only restaurants. Nah. Cause I do the derby. I'll dress up. I ain't trying to. I know I'm a plus one sometimes.
You ain't no sweats. You're not wearing sweats.
Nah. I ain't your ass on national TV with a hoodie. You be killing
her. You rocking sneaks though?
Of course.
Okay, that's all I care about.
First and foremost, I'm not even going to go. Like, if Amin was like, hey, yo, bro, I got tickets to, like, the ESPYs, and they like, yo, no sneakers.
Hard bottoms. You going to wear hard bottoms to the ESPYs?
I'm cool.
Nah, cool. Man, I'm
straight. I'm cool.
Well, no, he's saying as an example. Like,
I'm just saying in general, because, like, those situations, like, and obviously we were looking at them, like, it's so hard to even get us to even dress up for one, right? And then secondly, when you go costume theme, you got to think about, you really have to over buy in because you're going to look nuts first and foremost, like, and to your actual family.
That is my problem, is that people go, especially men, because I think at this point there's probably more or at least as many black men who get invited to this as there are black women. And so few of them actually like run a risk and go with it. Kind of like Frank Ocean was on the carpet last night with like a Prada pullover. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, he was going for a valet look.
Yeah, he looked like valet. And it's just like, I do think that if you're going to get this really exclusive, really hard to get invite, and somebody thinks enough of you in the fashion, thinks that your fashion is dope enough and think that you're dope enough to be invited. Not saying we need validation by the white people, but I'm saying it's a coveted invite regardless of whether, because white people can't get into this shit either, right? So it's a coveted, like, even Kim couldn't go until Kanye brought her the year she was pregnant with North as his plus one. That was her first one.
Like, you gotta think about how exclusive that shit is. So like, when you go, it's like, if you're representing us as people of color, you need to kill that shit.
Cardi has killed, this is her second year, she killed it both years.
Since she got that young designer though.
Yeah.
Oh boy, be having her lit.
Zendaya, she killed it. Like, you know, some people get Sierra, like some people can come and really, like, you got to embrace it because that's also what's fun about it.
Could you explain the theme, the camp theme?
So this year the theme was camp. So like I said, every year there's a different theme based on the exhibit. And I wasn't really sure how this year was going to go off, but it was one of my favorite years because a lot of people really leaned into it. Half my, so camp is like super retro, super over the top, super gaudy and kind of ridiculous and absurd, but in a purposely funny way. Like it's ridiculous on purpose. So one of the things, like,
is it like an OD to drag?
So that's what I was going to say. So it's kind of like drag, right? But you can go a bunch of different directions with it. But drag is a form of camp.
It's called
drag
OD.
Like ODE.
Like an ode.
Ode. I'm still being hood on here.
I would say more like drag queens pay homage to camp because they are campy.
Yeah, campy, right?
What you call it? Missy Elliott, camp, everything.
Yeah.
Like all of the, like, the rain and the outfits and the, like, Missy Elliott.
You know, the wild shit though, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like Grace Jones and Boomerang when she did the what's the shit? What was the the cologne, the perfume called?
Yeah, Strong J.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that was a camp. That was a camp homage. You know what I'm saying? But like,
Strong J was real.
The black people was over Odell wearing, you know, like the kilt ish. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what
that was. You said y'all know what that was?
I don't know if that's a theme. I mean, I guess it could, but.
I think it fit a theme in his head. Speaking of which, you know, am I being a little too like stereotypical by saying I'm surprised that Frank Ocean showed up in a hoodie?
He's done a dress before, so
well, not a dress,
not at the Met, but like, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not saying address. I'm just saying I think I'm really being really stereotypical here when I'm thinking, like, I thought he would really, like, jump 10 toes deep into this thing. Like,
me too. You know who we all expected? Well, maybe not we all, but a bunch of people expected, who was a letdown. Nicki Minaj's whole early career was camp. And she, like, underperformed on the carpet.
She's trying to get away from that now, right? Like, she wants to.
But this is not the time to, like, this was the time to bring the
ball. Yeah.
You know?
I get it. I get it if you're thinking to yourself, like, you was doing this 10 years ago or whatever, and you've already ran through it and you're sick of it. And, like,
yeah,
you
know? Don't,
it would be like if the theme was, like, mid-1990s streetwear. I don't know if Andre 3000 would show up, like, dressed like his first album, right? He'd be like, no, I did that. Yeah. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, man. Her dude showed up.
She was kind of throwing her designer under the bus on the carpet.
What did she say?
So somebody asked her to explain how her look was camp. And she was kind of like, well, I just knew I wanted it to be lighter than I usually do. And I really loved the train. She was like, but, you know, it was up to my designer to figure out the camp stuff. That's on him. If it
oh,
did.
Wow.
Like,
oh, wow. That's crazy. Nice. Nice. That's just lovely then. All right. Any other closing thoughts, guys?
Make sure y'all check out Game of Thrones season 8, episode 5. It's going to definitely hold it down for y'all. I want y'all to keep this same fucking energy.
HBO, send this nigga a hoodie, man.
I'll take that hoodie too, HBO. Keep that same energy after this.
I'll take a hoodie too. I always think free.
Niggas have Thrones merch. Thrones merch is funny.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you guys mentioned it. We have a live show coming up in a few weeks in Chicago. So it's May 17th. It's at Lincoln Hall in Chicago. Tickets, I don't even know if they're available. I'll be honest with you listeners right now. I might be lying right now. So tickets are available. Go to countthethings.com. But what's the worst that can happen? You can go there and find out there ain't no tickets. All right, might be a little bit of heartbreak. But if there are tickets, you're going to be like, oh my God, it worked out. I mean, it turned out you were right. So go to countthethings.com. We'll get you a couple of tickets. Come through to Chicago. It's going to be Chicago. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to have a ton of special guests. I'm not going to tell you who's going to be there. There might be a certain professor who used to be a full-time NBA reporter for ESPN. There might be all types of other fun, unexpected people. Remember, that's the week of the draft lottery, which is in Chicago. So I believe that's the week of the combine, which is in Chicago. So there's always people floating around. So do us a favor. Go to countthethings.com. Get you a couple tickets. Come on down. Especially if you're one of the people in the Midwest who's been begging for a live show. I see you, Indiana. I see you, Milwaukee. I see you, Chicago. You go, what are you going to do one here? All right, we're doing it in here now. You better show up.
Wow, that was a promo.
That's a sell.
That's a damn sell.
Well, only thing is May 18th.
What's May 18th?
The show.
Yeah, it's May 18th.
Okay, well, I mean, when you go to countthethings.com, you would have found out that it was May 18th.
Yeah, that's just going to pop up anyway.
Yeah, so anyways. Look,
my bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm just hoping that nobody's like, well, if it was 17th, I would have gone. But this is my Starbucks cup in the scene, all right? This is my Starbucks cup in the scene.
And so. I'm not judging you, brother. I'm not judging you.
You should. This is I'm recording this live. All right. Thank you, Naima, for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Your knowledge, expertise, it's your intelligence. You educate us every time you're here.
I love being here with y'all. Y'all are funny.
Thank you, John Gervais. Thank you, Black Trey. Thank you, Rob Lopez on the ones and twos producing. And thank you to you, the listener, for keeping this alive. Oh, one last promo. If you are a Patreon, definitely, definitely, definitely check out Cinephobe. It's a new pod. It's me. It's Zach Harper. We go through terrible movies. Some of them are terrible movies that one of us actually likes. Some of them are just terrible movies because we want to see how terrible it could get. Our first episode was Kangaroo Jack 2, Kangaroo Jack, G'day Mate. And yes, it was terrible. And I want feedback on what you guys think about that episode, what you guys think about the premise of the pod. And as always, if you have suggestions, you can leave a voicemail on the hotline. And we will listen.
Sorry.
Yeah, we will get to it when we get to it. By the way, the hotline is 860-386-8147. But I believe if you're a Patreon, you probably already knew that. All right.
And that's a wrap.